You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, I'm your host. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome wherever you're listening, whatever you're listening on, whatever time you're listening, whatever mood you're in. Today, we will see what the Father will have for us. And to me, it's always exciting when he reveals, he revives us. When he reveals, he ensures us. When he reveals, he displays his confidence in us and his love for us. For he doesn't want his children to be ignorant. And so shall it be. May we not be ignorant. May we know who we are, know whose we are, and may we draw strength from those things. Well, we're going to do another comparet today. I wanted to tell you something that is interesting. When you were a child in America, we used to play a game called Simon Says. And in a discussion yesterday, somebody brought up the name Simon for some reason, and boom, it just hit me. That it was a Jewish training. Think about it. Simon says, and you had to do whatever Simon said, right? Now, you know Simon is a Jewish name. Of course, it's truly an Israelite name, but it's been tainted now. This is one of the reasons why I believe the Father will give us all a new name, because those names have been tainted now. And it's very interesting, Simon says. See, you lose the game when you don't do what Simon says. You know what I mean? It's just something that, you know, is kind of interesting. These are some thoughts I've, you know, had, and I like to give a few little tidbits at the beginning of the show. There's something else that I want to speak about on this these things too. You know, Hollywood and the Jews, in their plight and deception to make woman equal with man, they realized that woman was much shorter in stature than man. I mean, there are exceptions, of course. So you notice that they found and selected the tallest women they could possibly find that would make them somewhat equal with men in stature. Now, this doesn't work in every single case, of course. But it's pretty much, they even used men playing women to try to equal the stature. Because it would be hard to say that men and women were equal if women were much shorter than the man. You see what I mean? So they not only showed women more equal in height, but also in abilities and like that. Mental abilities, physical abilities, etc., etc. Many of the old Westerns always would have an episode here or there where there'd be this woman and she would say, and there'd be several episodes, she'd say, I can do anything a man can do. See? And so it's very interesting that the equality game is played not only with verbiage, but with the visual as well. And it would be really hard if the woman wasn't as tall as the man to say that she was equal. You get my point? The same thing with Negroes. If you look at the Negroes in most old shows that they were in, none of them were these big 6'7" monsters. And I believe that there's been some genetic engineering going, not necessarily genetic, but in the way of they went, the Jews, of course, because they're going to use these people as a weapon, and they were promoting these people. They got found the tallest ones and got them to mate with many of the women, and there that's how it comes about. Now, I'm not going to say there were no tall blacks. I couldn't say. But I know that the blacks also have a pygmy people. So they weren't necessarily these towering people. They're very short, really, when it comes down to it. So that tells me, whether I'm right or wrong, and I could be wrong, but I doubt it, there's been some finagling going on. How's that for a word? You know that word, finagling. And so that also has to do with the equality. This is all a mind game. And those who can't see will be fooled by the mind game. It's trickery. It's deviltry. So I've picked a compere for us today, and it is called "Who is Your God?" And that question is very apropos. You know, there's a lot of people out in our world and in our race specifically that are antichrist. They're atheists, and they've been taught by the Jew to hate the Word of God. They equate this with the religion, you know, and when I talk about Yahweh, I've said this many times, I'm not talking about religion, because I told you that the religions all of the world are part of the kingdoms of the world, and they have Lucifer as their God. So when we speak about the Father, Yahweh, we're speaking about, we're not speaking about religion, we're speaking about our Father, our relationship with our Father. And when we speak about the scriptures, this is the book of Adam, the book about the Adamic race, history, his story, the story of the race of Adam. We're not talking about religion. But you see, that's the point, is that the Jew has tainted all the religions, has created a lot of the religions, and they have created the hate for all the religions. They've created the extremism of all religions to bring forth the hate even more. They've done everything they can in Hollywood, in their papers, in any productions, in their books, in their magazines, to destroy Christianity, period. Make no mistake, this is their agenda. And by bringing two-legged beasts of the field as weapons against us, they're not only bringing them as weapons, they're bringing their so-called gods with them and tainting our land as weapons against us as well. And their gods are demons, you see what I'm saying? Demons and devils and the devil himself. And they bring them along with them into our lands and taint the land, spoil it. It's bad enough the Jew is here. We didn't eat any more than that. That's enough suffering for any people. And so people don't understand that this is for your life. Who is your God? That's the question I will ask you. Who is it? Is it a man? Is it an institution? Is it money? Who will you cry out to on your dying day? Will you cry out to the devil, Hare Krishna? Also known as the Green Man, also known as Osiris, also known as a thousand other names. Who will you cry out to? I'm speaking to those that don't believe in God. What hope have you got? What hope is there for you? What can you hope in? If you're an Aryan brother and you don't believe in the Bible, and of course you all believe that the Jews wrote the Bible, which is a lie, what will you do? How do you think you're going to win against these Jews? I'm going to explain something to you that is very important to know. There have been exposés on the Jews for over 1,000 years. And somehow, just like the Teflon Rabbi, you know who that is. I've dubbed him the Teflon Rabbi. They're able to slip through the cracks. They're able to continue on. Doesn't matter how many exposés there are. They're slippery serpents. And they're able to slip right on through. So before you were born, and way before that, back in the 1848, there was another revolution that nobody really talks about that I've learned about recently. And you see, they were being exposed heavily back then. Martin Luther exposed them way back then, you see. But it hasn't stopped them. It has probably helped a small amount of people just like it is today. But you Aryans, I want to know, like, how do you think you're going to beat the Jew? You think you're going to be able to count on your race? Now listen, I'm not putting our race down, but right now, it's not looking too good about our race sticking together or anything. So how do you think you're going to get your race together, our race together? And how are you going to win this thing, do you think? See, I don't know if the Aryans have thought this out. You're not going to be able to win it without the Father, because the Father is the only one that's really going to be able to take care of this business. And the more you push him away, the more you push yourself into the grave. And let me tell you about the grave. It's insatiable. The grave eats every day. Hell is insatiable. It can never be satisfied. That's what insatiable means. It's hungry. And the more you push against the Father and show disdain and believe that he's a Jew God when he's not a Jew at all, he would be insulted if you called him a Jew, and is insulted. This God hates the Jews just as much as you, Mr. Aryan. And he has vowed to destroy them. He has proclaimed that he will. Do you want to be destroyed with him? With them, I mean? The only way you're going to be able to help win this thing is to become good. To get God to be good, get Yahweh to be good. What I mean by that is, by coming to him and repenting of your sins, and you see, partying on and on is not going to help your cause. You must repent and submit to the Father and come to him and have a relationship with him, not a religion. The first thing I would suggest is that you ask him if he's real. Go ahead, ask him. I did the same thing when I was a younger lad. He'll show you. And then you'll say to yourself, wow, I can't believe I was tricked by the Jews into believing that the father was a Jew and that Jesus was a Jew and that the scriptures were the Jews' scriptures. They're not the Jews' scriptures. Listen, I'm going to explain this quickly for you Aryan brothers, just very quickly. The Jew divided the Bible up, the scriptures. It's one book about the race of Adam. I'm telling you the truth. They divided it up and claimed that the older part of the Testament, it's one Testament, not an old and a new. They took a certain part of the Testament and they claimed it was their history, that it was their scriptures and that they wrote it and that Moses was a Jew and all these. This is not true. Not even close to being true. Adam was not a Jew. Moses was not a Jew. Isaiah was not a Jew. Jeremiah was not a Jew. None of them. And it's not Jewish literature. The confusion is with the word Jew and the word Israelite. They have stolen the identity of the white people, the white race, and claimed that they are the race that has a covenant with Yahweh. They do not have a covenant. They've always been the enemies of our race, like they are today. And they're also the enemies of the Father Yahweh, and you know they're Antichrist, right? They hate him in the flesh. They hate the Son of Man. You see, I think really if Jesus was a Jew, they would have loved him. Because they don't really love each other, but they at least play along. So you're being tricked. They've told you that the older part of the Testament is theirs and the newer part of the Testament is the so-called Christians. You know, you cattle. Well, that's not even close to being true. And you're being tricked. While you're sitting there thinking that people like myself that believe in the Father and believe in the scriptures, you think we're being tricked by the Jew. But in reality, it's not so. You're being tricked by the Jew. And that's the greatest of ironies, isn't it? The word Jew is a relatively new word. You must understand that the Jews are totally the opposite of what the Father wants. They are corruptors. Let me read this to you so you get this again. I like to read this from time to time. And I think it's important to... so something else comes up. Okay, let's give a look at this now. Ezekiel, okay, let me just grab this. Ezekiel calls that characteristic a cormorant because there is no Hebraic for a vampire. There's no Hebrew word for vampire. While preying on man, that vampire race, speaking of the Jews, utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to assist to elevate him to the zenith of spiritual attainment. 2 Peter 2:11, 12 throws light on the condition when he says, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before Yahweh, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So he goes on, I'm not going to say the Greek things because I just want to clarify this. This is what it actually says in translation. The speaking about the Jews. Now please listen, Neshab. These living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. You see? Is that not what the Jews do? Do they not corrupt the white people? And all races, for that matter. So, These living dead things, see, they're spiritually born dead. They're spiritually dead from the womb. They're born spiritually dead. But right from birth, they have the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. This is all they do all the time. This is what they are programmed to do. It's important for you to understand that psychological warfare has been played on us all. And it's important to understand that and to be able to take an objective look at things, dear Aryan brother. To take an objective look would mean to put everything that you've been taught aside for a moment and take a look at the other angle from an objectively. You know, take a few steps back. A lot of times we as people are too close to a situation to be able to discern it or understand it. And when you take a few steps back from the situation, it becomes clear. You know what I mean? It's like a binocular. If you were too close, maybe it goes out of focus. So you have to turn it to, you have to take a step back with the dial until you can see clearly. I'm not trying to get you to join any religions or anything like that. I'm trying to get you to turn back to your father. If you're a white, pure white man, white woman, I'm trying to get you to turn back to your father. You are his offspring. You don't even know that. I'm not trying to harm you. I'm not trying to brainwash you. And neither is the father. But you're doing harm to yourself in this rebellion because, like I said, who is your God? Who will you turn to on your dying day? Who will you turn to today? Who can you have hope in today? Do we have hope in our race in its current situation? Very little, right? I mean, I know our race's capability. We could do anything if we could just get together and do it. There's just too many infiltrators right now. Traitors and infiltrators. You see? And there's too many hybrids in the world. And so you're on the track by knowing the enemy, knowing that the Jew is the enemy, you're halfway there. You just have to realize that there's a war between the Jew and the Adamite. The Edomite Jew and the Adamite, the Canaanite Jew and the Adamite. We are the Adamic race. No, that's a lie. All races did not come from the Adamic race. No black race came from Adamic races. We came here after the other races. This is what two seed line means. It means that there is a war. In the garden, when the three were being judged, this was the serpent or the angel, the devilish, the devil, whatever you want to say, and Adam and Eve, the father said, thy seed, or thy zera is the word in Hebrew, offspring, will be at enmity with her zera, or seed line, or offspring. There is a war between these two seed lines that's been going on since the garden. It was meant to be this way. This is the test we're going through. You've heard of the wheat and the tares. You've heard of Jacob and Esau. Esau race mixed into oblivion. He went into Edom and he was our brother, but is no longer our brother. The Jews absorbed him, the Edomites, which are also the Amalekites. And so one thing I must explain to everybody at this point is the Jews are pretending that they're the Israel of the Bible, And they're saying that we are the Amalekites. They wouldn't even dare call us the Edomites. Do you know why? Because the Edomites, they have admitted that they are the Edomites. Edom is in modern Jewry. You've heard the from the Jewish encyclopedia, right? And Edom means red. They are the Reds. Everything's clear that they are Edom and not Israel. Edom has always been enemies with Israel. Edomites have always been the enemies of Israelites. You see how the confusion is? Now, to confuse it more, I'm not going to confuse it, but I'm saying the Jews confuse it more by trying to say that we're the Amalekites. But you see, if you are savvy and know the scriptures, you will know that the Amalekites are part of the Edomites. They were born in them. They're in their bloodline. And so it's trickery, but to the knowing individual, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So this is what we're going against. This is a battle. It's a two-seed line battle. I'm not going to call the Jews a race because they've race mixed with everybody. They're a race mixed mob. All these half-breeds you see around you, most of them have mixed with Jews and their own cousins and everything else. The tennis player Boris Becker, I knew the name Beck was a Jew name. Jeff Beck, the guitarist, is a Jew. And the other Beck, who was in music, which I wouldn't even listen to, is a Jew. And I knew the name Beck was Jew. So I said to myself the other day, I wonder if Becker is a Jew. I wonder if that's a Jew name. Sure enough, I looked it up. He's got a Czechoslovakian Jewish mother. And you know how they excuse it? They say, well, he's qualified by the rabbis because of his mother being a Jewess, but he never practiced the religion. Now, those that are savvy and listen to my show know that there is no such thing as the Jewish religion. Judaism is antichrist. It's satanic. It's pagan. It's not monotheistic. It's many gods. It is antichrist to the core. It is not a religion at all. It's a criminal cartel in the guise of a religion to take advantage of the world and advantage of the guise you can put on by being a religion. There's all kinds of things you can get away with by claiming you're a religious sect. You understand that, right? And that's exactly what these devils do. Now, you have to understand that the Jews are the offspring of Cain. They are the offspring of the devil and of the unholy union of the angels. That's part of it as well as too. When the angels came and mixed with these daughters of Adam because they were so beautiful, that created another hybrid race. So, dear Aryan brother, maybe you can understand what I'm telling you now. Maybe you can't. I can't say. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't have Yahweh, you're a walking dead man. And if you try to chastise me and try to tell me, well, you can't do this and you can't, I don't listen to you. I don't take orders from you. I take orders from the Father. As far as I'm concerned, if you're a walking dead man, it's not that I don't care about you, but I certainly don't regard your opinion. I don't care about your opinion. Do you care about the opinion of a dead man? Well, neither do I. So let's move into Compare. And of course, this is called Who is Your God? The whole Bible is a record of the age-long war between God, Yahweh, and the rebel Satan. See, that's our father and the devil. And then now I don't even have to say it because he says it right here. Let me start again. The whole Bible is a record of the age-long war between God, Yahweh, and the rebel Satan, which is being carried on between their children. Are you surprised I speak both Yahweh and Satan having children? I'm not saying this as a figure of speech. I mean that both of them have literal children living in the world today, who are respectively the leaders of the human forces on the side of good and those on the side of evil. The theme of the entire Bible is stated in Genesis 3:15, spoken by Yahweh to Satan, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." I guess I didn't realize that he was going to say this, but it's a testimony of what I've said. No, I did not read this first. "It shall crush thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The same Hebrew word, zerah, meaning seed or children, and I have said it also means offspring, which are children, is used in both incidences. Satan was to have just as literal children as Eve. Yahweh said that he would put enmity between Satan's children and Eve's children. It has been true throughout all the centuries since then, and it is true today. Luke 3:38 tells us Adam was the son of Yahweh. See, Adam really is the son of God. Yeshua is the son of man. Now, that sounds funny, but it's the truth. He called himself the Son of Man. It's a very interesting thing, and if you think about it, it makes pure sense. So Adam is the Son of God, and it says that in Luke 3:38. It says it. So Eve's children by Adam were therefore the children or descendants of Yahweh. Can anyone be so completely blind as not to see this war is being carried on today between the children of Satan and the children of Yahweh? Are you all of you are wondering when the children of Satan will drop atom bombs on us? Very interesting. Well, they're working at it for sure. They're working up to Armageddon. Okay, it continues. Satan was once an angel of very high rank, with great authority. Evidently, he was then the governor of this planet Earth, possibly much more also. Then he rebelled against Yahweh and was cast out of heaven and confined to this earth. We read about this in Isaiah 14:12 through 15. That's 14, verse 12 through 15. And here it is, quote, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart," now listen very carefully, dear people, Nashab, this is the five-point plan of the devil, and this is the five-point star, and the five arrows in the eagle's talons, and so on and so forth, the five sons of Rothschild, the five sons of Rockefeller, both Jews. Listen, ready? This is the devil's five-point plan. That's what the Edomite star is on our tanks. "For thou hast said in thine heart," number one, "I will ascend into heaven." That's the first. Number two, "I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh." Number three, "I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Number four, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." And number five, "I will be like the Most High." Very interesting, I never even noticed before, that this is positive thinking, but yet none of it will happen. When you have to realize something here, you know, I don't know if we'll even make it through this whole thing here, but think about the five-point plan here. "I will ascend into heaven." Now, the devil, through CERN and NASA, even the Jews supposedly sent something to the moon, and it failed, of course. And China failed, of course. You must realize that the devil, it told you here before that the devil is relegated to this planet. He's entered the material plane and he can no longer return to his first estate. So he believes he can return through man becoming God. NASA. When man supposedly reached the moon, he attained godhood. Believe me, the devil would plan, and you know, this is where he was kicked out. They had a battle in the heavens with Michael the Archangel and the other angels. And they were cast down, these devils. The third of the angels and Lucifer, Halel, and his other thousand names. So he says, I will ascend into heaven. But what's funny is it says, how thou art cut down to the ground. See, a biblical principle that you should know is that after pride comes a fall. But also, those who exalt themselves shall be humbled. Two different kinds of principles, but yet the same kind, the same thing happens. You've seen examples in your life that after somebody gets a little too prideful, they fall. An athlete gets a little too, you look at what happened to, what's that fella's name there? The boxer who I am the greatest. I forget his name. Muhammad Ali. Now, he walked around telling everybody how he was the greatest and touting his garbage. And he's a verb, you know, like a vegetable, a virtual vegetable now. That pride has been brought down. So this devil is trying to get back up. And he's saying, I will ascend into heaven. So through NASA or through, I had proven that CERN, the scientists of CERN admitted they weren't trying to get somebody from the porthole into the earth. They were trying to get somebody out of it. So he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of Yahweh. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That's where the Father is, right? That's why they keep the north side of the lodge dark. Because they want Lucifer to be the shining one. And so they deliberately darken the north side of the lodge, and that's where Yahweh resides. In other words, shutting him out. Ignoring him, putting him and relegating him into darkness, even though there's no truth to it, but that's the way it is, why it is done. So he says, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. This is all part of ascending into heaven. The five-point plan. I. Sounds like Pastor Steve, don't it? I will be like the Most High. Now, what I was talking about was like, he wishes he could be the Father, but he can't. So he doesn't say, I will be the Most High. He said, I will be like the Most High. Isn't that interesting? That's admitting that he knows he couldn't be the Most High. You see, because the devil is a cheap imitation. Like his children are a cheap imitation of us, the race of Adam. Their women are a cheap imitation of our women. Their men are certainly a cheap imitation of our men. The imitation is never as good as the real, as I've said. Let's continue. It says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Revelation 12, verse 7 through 9 states, and there was war in heaven. This is what I was talking about. I guess just let him tell you about it. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, their first estate. And the great dragon was cast out, that ancient serpent. See the serpent in the garden, the serpent here, called the devil and Satan, or Halel, or Lucifer, which deceiveth the whole world. Mr. Arian, did you hear that? The devil and Satan, and of course his own children, deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In Luke 10, verse 18, Yeshua says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Very interesting. However, some of Satan's power seems to have been left to him for a period of time. Yeshua speaks of Satan three different times as the prince of this world order. The world order, the Jew world order, you see. The prince of the power of the air. Air is what you speak on when you speak in the radio. Air is, you're on the air on television. They have UFOs that come in and out of sight in the air because it's a deception of the prince of the power of the air. You see? In John 12, 31, John 14, 30, and John 16, 11, in Corinthians 4, verse 4, the Apostle Paul also speaks of Satan, saying, the god of this age, Aeon, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Do you hear what I'm saying, dear Arian brother and sister? The god of this age, and that's little g, because he's no god at all. The devil is not a god. He's pretending he's going to be like the Most High, but he's not a god. The god of this age hath blinded the men of them that believed not. Still, rebels, although now earthbound, Satan and his angels wanted men to worship them as gods, like Odin and things like that. I guess Odin was a man, but many of these gods that are worshipped in paganism, I don't have to say anything. I'm ahead of this guy, and he's telling you everything. Mr. Comparé, listen to him. Many of the pagan gods of Asia and Africa can be clearly traced to and identified as devils, Satan and his rebel followers. The Bible also refers to this fact in Leviticus 17, verse 7. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils after whom they have gone abhorring, it says. Deuteronomy 32:17 states, they sacrifice unto devils, not to Yahweh, to gods, little gods, that's little g, whom they knew not. Again, in 2 Chronicles 11, verse 15, and Jeroboam ordained him priests, for the high places, and for the devils, and for the calves which he had made. I was just speaking about this, which is ironic, that the 10 tribes that had split, Israel had become the two sticks. And so the 10 tribes were together, and Benjamin and Judah were together. So it was called the two sticks. Instead of being one big club, let's say. You get it? Club, sticks. So up in that area, see, today there's being people ordained as pastors and priests and so on and so forth that do not qualify for being priests. And this was something that angers Yahweh very much because you're supposed to be qualified. It's not something to be taken lightly. So it says right here, 2 Chronicles 11:15 says, and Jeroboam ordained him priests for the high places, that's the groves like Bohemian Grove. I told you about the groves with Hezekiah destroying the groves and destroying. See, our people would make groves and worship false gods and devils in these groves instead of Yahweh. Our people did this, worshiping calves. They learned these things from the Jews. And so listen again, because it becomes, that's what the high places are. You've heard of Bohemian Grove. That's just such a place. And Jeroboam ordained him priests for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he made. Let me have a sip of coffee while the bell tolls for thee. Now, I've changed the idea of this being a new and old testament, and I'm going to change it to the newer testament and newer part of the testament and the older part of the testament. See, when I say that the scriptures are one testament, that includes the Apocrypha, which they ripped the heart right out of the middle of it, which connects the two together. It's also very racial, the middle part of it, very identifying on who's who and who's Jew. And I am trying to undo what the Jew has done. The older part of the Testament is not the Jews' literature. They did not write it. They're jealous of it. They only did this to trick you into believing they are part of Israel. They're not any part of Israel whatsoever. This is all a psyop, and it works on... This is how the devil deceives the whole world. It's amazing. And his children. It just told you he deceived the whole world in this, right? So I've undone what these Jews have done because there is no such thing as the Old Testament or the New Testament. There's only one Testament. You don't buy a book off the shelf and say this and cut it in half and rip the middle out and say, well, this is the old part, the old book, and this is the new book. That's not, it just doesn't work that way. This history book of Adam is continuous history. You don't rip the middle out of it. The part you read first is the older part, and the part you read last is the latter part. Yes, but it's one testament. So Mr. Comparé says New Testament, but I change it to in the newer part of the Testament, Paul warns us against this. Against what? Making calves, against worshiping and ordaining priests for the high places and for devils and for the calves. So Paul warns us against this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20, saying, but I say that the things which the people sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Yahweh. Gentiles, he used the word Gentiles, which means nations, and it can mean Israelites, the Israelite nations. Sometimes it can mean heathen, depending on what the word was it was translated from. So, but I say that the things which these nations sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Yahweh. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Hello, Aryan brother? Are you worshiping false gods that can deliver nothing to you? Are you calling on these false gods, these Pan and Odin and all these different ones that you like to adhere to? Have they ever done anything for you? Will you cry out to them when you die? Who is your God? The Apostle Paul says that many people and many nations sacrifice, and they sacrifice to devils, not to Yahweh. But the Apostle Paul said, I would, and I agree, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. So therefore, Judeo-Christianity, dear Aryan brother, is fellowship with devils. If we are at war with the Jews, how could we have a religion with the Jews called Judeo-Christianity? In other words, they are two opposite things. It's light and darkness together. And we know that light cannot survive. I mean, darkness cannot survive with light. Light scatters the darkness. Evil cannot survive with the good. It has to give way. One or the other thing will win. So he continues, remember, he says religion, which I don't agree with, but our religion was crystallized in the form we now have in the Bible at the time when the children of Israel were in the Exodus, on their way to their new home in the Promised Land. They were about to move into a land where they would be surrounded by devil-worshipping pagans. Now, that sounds funny to you, doesn't it, dear Arian? Because light and darkness would be there, right? But I have to explain to you that you may not understand that these devils were cast down here, and this devil's offspring is here to test us. When the Father lost a percentage of the angels who rebelled with the devil, he's going to replace those angels with his own offspring. And it's going to be people that love him for himself, not religious people, not people that have their heart far from him, but their lips close to him. But he's going to, this test, this life is a test to see whom you will serve, whom you will gravitate to, who is your God, who will you serve? If you want to be in his kingdom, then you'll love him. You'll obey him in his commandments. You'll love his word. You won't repel from it. You won't be butthurt when you hear it. So, we're surrounded by devils today because it's part of the test. Also, I must remind you that woman is part of this test that we go through. If you didn't think it was enough to have the Jews against us, and most of our people don't even know about the war that's going on between us and the Jews. We're losing because we don't even know that there's a war. But then to top it off, the Father brings woman into it as another temptation, as another hurdle. And don't be mad, women. You know what I'm talking about. The woman is part of the test that we go through. So back to the article. There was great danger. They would gradually absorb the customs of the pagans around them and would learn to call the pagan idols gods and be led into idol worship. I hope you're listening, dear Arian brothers and sisters. To avoid this, Yahweh repeatedly gave the children of Israel stern warnings against such integration with the pagans, forbidding even the mention of the names of the pagan gods. In Exodus 23, verse 13, we read, "And in all things have I said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth." In Joshua 23, verse 7, Israel was told, "Come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them." I hope you're listening, because I'm going to tell you something else, Arian brother and sister. These Jews worship all these other gods. They do not worship Yahweh in heaven like you think they do. Their God is money. Their God is Lucifer. Their God are many, many gods. Pantheism is what Judaism is all about. It's nothing to do with monotheism. Worship, the worship of one God. You must understand what I'm telling you. In Psalm 16, verse 3 and 4, King David's words are so well expressed in Smith and Godspeed's translation of the Bible, and this is the quote, "As to the gods, little g, who are in the land and the lofty ones, I have no pleasure in them. Their images are many. Others praise them, but I will not pour out their libations of blood, nor will I take their names upon my lips. Anyone, whether man or God, little g, is identified by his name. If I wanted to recognize you, an especially skillful doctor, how could I do it if I didn't know his name? If I told you the wrong name, I would certainly be sending you astray, for you would go to the man that bore that name. It was necessary that the pagan gods be forgotten. No worship was to be given them, and any worship in their names was necessarily to them. It is clearly important that we know the true name of our God, which is Yahweh. Now, let me stop there. This statement, it is clearly important that we know the true name of our God. The Jew scribes that the Israelite people got to translate the scriptures, the Jewish rabbis screamed out to the people of those days and said that the name Yahweh was too holy to utter. And they removed the name Yahweh and changed, put the word God, which was a pagan term, and Lord, which is their God, Baal. Now, you can be a lord of, like a landlord, you know what I mean, or something like that, but they call the Father Lord because it's not the Father they wanted you to pray to. They wanted you to pray to Baal. And they took this word Yahweh, his name, out of this, out of these scriptures around 6,800 times. And put these other words in, which denuded our prayers, because when you were praying to the Lord, you were praying to Baal, the Jews' God, which is Lucifer, Halel, and the other thousand names. So when I change the name as I'm reading it, it's just like I did with the One Testament. I'm undoing what the Jew had done. I'm undoing the damage. I certainly wouldn't change the word of the Father. Believe me. He warned, and when the Father warns, either you listen or you burn. So it is clearly important that we know the true name of our God. And I'm going to testify to you like I did to a brother of mine, ours. I used to pray in the name of Jesus, and I have no real problem with it. But I'll tell you, since I'm more obedient to the Father than I ever have been in my whole life, and I'm striving for more and more and more obedience, that's one key. The other key is I pray in the name of Yahweh. And I must tell you that I've never seen my prayers being answered as I do after I started using the Father's name. Because there's power in his name, and that's why the Jews deliberately took the name out of the scriptures. It was just the precursor of what they're doing today to the scriptures. They're taking out the deity of Jesus Christ. What it did was denuder all the Christians, and it made their prayer lives, how can I say it to you? It made it so they were praying to the devil. You wonder why we've been losing for so long? You wonder why history has taken the shape that in the way it has? If our so-called Christian brothers and sisters of all the offspring of the Father has been praying to the Lord and pagan idols and gods and so on and so forth, you wonder why we're under the heel of the Jew at this point? Even though it was pre-told anyway. Don't wonder why. I just told you why. So when he said that, I'm going to say this even again. It is clearly important that we know the true name of our God. It has been important to Satan to keep us in ignorance of it. For 2,500 years, Satan has largely succeeded in keeping us ignorant of the name of our God. It would surprise you to find out to whom you have been addressing your prayers these many... Wow, I'm ahead of the curve. I didn't read this before, folks. To whom you have been addressing your prayers these many years. It would surprise you to find out to whom you have been addressing your prayers for these many years. Of course, you meant well in your heart. You understood that you were praying to the one true God, but the great probability is that you said something else, as we shall see. In Exodus chapter 3, you will remember that after Moses fled from Egypt, Yahweh met him later in the desert, where Yahweh spoke to Moses out of the bush, which burned with fire, yet was not consumed. Yahweh told Moses he had seen the affliction of the people of Israel in Egypt and knew their sorrows, so he would deliver them, the Father, he would deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them into a land of their own. Then he told Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, and that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel." He's not talking about the Jews, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking about the Anglo-Saxon white people, the Adamites. Remember that the Pharaohs, even though they were white, worshipped many gods. They were these pagans that we were just speaking about. They worshipped many gods, the Egyptians. They were white, but they kept their own people, you know, our own brothers. They were our brothers, yet they kept us in slavery. No, Egyptians aren't dark-skinned people and hybrids and everything like they are today. When the Egyptian Empire was at its height, at its zenith, at its crest, it was a white nation. So, it continues. But Moses knew what kind of character this Pharaoh was, and he also knew that the children of Israel had grown bitter and skeptical under their afflictions, and might not believe Moses when he told them that he had come to lead them out of Egypt. They knew well enough that no man had power enough of his own to successfully take from Pharaoh's army a group of unarmed slaves, untrained and undisciplined for war. No, this could only be done with the power of God. But which God? They lived among the Egyptians who worshipped many gods. There it is. And if it were one of these, would an Egyptian god help them against the Egyptians who built the temples and furnished his priests? How was Moses to rally the people behind him so that they would believe and follow him when he led the way out of Egypt? So we read in Exodus 3:13, "And Moses said unto God," or Yahweh, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto him? What shall I say unto them?" A very important question indeed. Yahweh told Moses to tell them who had sent him, but you can't find out who it was in your King James Bible because the Jewish scribes had corrupted the ancient records and the translations of the King James Bible didn't know it. The translators didn't know it. However, some of the modern English translations give it correctly. Smith and Goodspeed's American translation and Rotherham's Emphasized Bible are correct. Exodus 3:13 through 15 is curiously garbled in the King James Bible. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, they shall say, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Moreover, God said," or Yahweh said to Moses, Thus shalt say, thou say to the children of Israel, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. However, this actually concealed the name of Yahweh. And he's going to read you the corrected thing. Now, you see how damaging this all has been? See, so if the Jews, if Yahweh was a Jew God, Mr. Aryan, and white woman Aryan, then the Jew, if Yahweh was a Jew God, then the Jews would have wanted to trick the white people into worshiping Yahweh, right? Doesn't that make sense to you? It's amazing. You see, Christ said many, many, many times, I am. He said it over and over and over. Before Abraham was, I am. Look in the chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 8, which have a special teaching I've taught on that the Father gave me exclusively. And you will notice that he says, I am many times, which shows you that he is the Father. He is the Word of the Father in a flesh body. So let's continue with the article. Now let's read it correctly, translated in Rotherham's translation. And Moses said unto God, lo, as surely as I go into the sons of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, so surely will they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I will become whatever I please. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the sons of Israel, Yahweh, God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. You just hear that? No, Abraham's not a Jew. No, Isaac's not a Jew. No, Jacob's not a Jew. This is my name to time's age abiding, and this is my memorial to generation after generation. Here, the name Yahweh is given for the first time. Note how correct translation clears this up. The meaningless I am that I am becomes I will become whatever I please. Literally, I will become what I will become. I will become the redeemer of my people and the savior of all who come to me as such. I will become the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary and the King of Kings when I come again. The personal name of God, Yahweh, is revealed for the first time in Exodus 6, verses 2 and 3, as correctly translated by Rotherham, we read, and God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yahweh. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as God Almighty, El Elyon. Although by my name, Yahweh, was I not made known unto them. Yahweh was very insistent his people should know his name. See, if the Jew was part of Yahweh, they would have kept the name Yahweh in there if it was their scriptures, if he was a Jew God, right? See, you're not thinking, dear people. You've got to take a few steps back from the situation. Forget about what the Jew has brainwashed you into, about religion, how horrible it is, and it is horrible. Will you find out who is your God? Or will you reject your Father in heaven, your own Father? It continues. Yahweh was very insistent his people should know his name, should know whom it was they worshipped as their God. But his name has been consistently edited out of the Bible so that the people should not know it. Let us read some of these passages, putting his name back into them, where the scribes and translators have falsified the book by taking his name out of it. Isaiah 52, verse 5 says, Now, therefore, what have I here, saith Yahweh? And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Ezekiel 39 verse 7 states, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not, that's not Jews. You've been tricked. That land over there, dear people, is cursed until the return of Yeshua. They're pretending they're Israel. Notice they do not have a country of their own. That land is cursed. And they are accursed people, pretending to be the covenant people, which they are not. They are not of the covenant whatsoever. They are Israel in name only. They are no part of Israel. I assure you of this. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore with the heathen. And the heathen, shall know that I am Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel. See, now you who are a heathen at this point, and I'm hoping you'll come to your senses, you now know that the Father's name is Yahweh, and that he is the Holy One of Israel, not of the Jews, not of the pretend Israel over there, but of the Adamic race, who is the true Israel. Jacob is an Israelite, not a Jew. Jacob is an Adamite, not a Jew. In the original Hebrew, this personal name of Yahweh is used. Okay, so he says 5,410 times in the... Oh, okay, hold on. It's used 5,410 times in the older Testament, older part of the Testament, yet the King James Bible never uses it and uses the corrupted substitute of Jehovah only four times. Yes, Jehovah was created by a Catholic monk, the name Jehovah. Yahweh was most insistent that his people should know that his name for the good know his name for the good reason that they should know whom they worship, whom to worship. For example, read Leviticus chapters 19 and 20, where the statement of authority on which it is given emphasizes every commandment given. I am Yahweh your God. That's the quote. I am, again, I am. Yeshua says, I am. I never have counted it, but he says it many times. And the Father says, I am Yahweh, your God, after these, when you read these commandments. There was also a rarely used shorter term form, Yah. For example, Psalm 68:4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. Now you see that when you change his name to Lord, you're praising and singing praises to the devil when you're singing to the Lord. Since Yahweh so often commanded his people should know his name in the older part of the Testament, it was used 5,410 times. How could it have been so successfully concealed thereafter? For the answer to this, we must go back a bit. Genesis 3:15 gives the theme of the entire Bible. For there Yahweh says to Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Satan's children, and I do mean real living people, not a mere figure of speech, have been fighting against Yahweh's people from that day to this. We have seen that they have often tried to exterminate us, by direct violence and have always failed because Yahweh has come to our rescue. Then the crafty Satan has seen that his only hope of complete victory must come through another way. He must corrupt our religion. I don't call it religion. Until we become pagans or atheists, so we will not have the right to call upon Yahweh for help. Like I said, who is your God? Who will you cry to on your dying day? Who will you cry to today for help against the Jews in this war? Who? Or whom? Yeah. Therefore, Satan has repeatedly resorted to the methods of infiltration and corruption of our centers of so-called religion. Remember when the kingdom was divided and Jeroboam set up the independent kingdom of Israel among the 10 northern tribes, the new nation quickly fell into pagan idolatry. 1 Kings 12 verse 31 tells us that King Jeroboam, listen, made priests of the lowest of people, which were not of the sons of Levi. This is what I'm talking about, making pastors out of people that are not qualified. Self-ordained pastors who ordain other pastors who are not qualified. They're not qualified. Now, listen, today, of course, the sons of Levi have been killed by the Jew, the Edomite Jew Herod. And I'm not sure if there's any left, but I would think the father might have preserved some left somehow, some way. Corruption of the religion into loathsome idolatry speedily followed the natural corruption of the priesthood. Remember how the evil queen Jezebel brought in the 450 priests of Baal? 450. How much is 4 and 5? It's 9, isn't it? And Baal is the devil. I mean, there's nothing to these numbers, even in the Bible, is there? Of course, these numbers all originate from the Father anyway. Remember how the evil queen Jezebel brought in the 450 priests of Baal who debased the land into the grossest idolatry until the courageous prophet Elijah killed them, as we read in 1 Kings chapter 18, 666, hello? In the southern kingdom of Judah, the same infiltration and corruption of the priesthood by the sons of Satan also led that nation into idolatry. 2 Kings chapter 21 tells us how this wickedness came to such a climax under King Manasseh in Jerusalem about 698 BC, that it brought Yahweh's final decision to send the kingdom into the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 7 verse 17 and 18 quotes Yahweh's indignant statement, Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood and the fathers kindle the fire and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger. This was due to the infiltration of the children of Satan. And this is clear when Isaiah 3 verses 9 says, 3 times 9 is 27, 999. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sins as Sodom and hide it not. All the ancient monuments which picture Israelites show a people with straight noses, a typical Anglo-Saxon face. If these evil leaders were Israelites, there would be nothing about their faces to identify them as wicked. Their big hook noses as Canaanites, who later were called Jews, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. I've talked about this before. As Isaiah says, it identified them. It's one of the marks of Cain, this nose. It's as plain as the nose on their face. You get it? But I have found out as of late that there are many more marks of Cain, and I will eventually do a show called The Marks of Cain. These Canaanites, just like today, of course, I added that in, had infiltrated into the priesthood and were, like in the time of Yeshua too, and were corrupting the religion of the Israelites. See, there's a difference between Canaanites and Israelites, and Edomites and Israelites, and Jews and Israelites. Notice they call themselves Israelis. So, the Canaanites had infiltrated into the priesthood when corrupted and were corrupting the religion of the Israelites until they brought about the terrible Babylonian captivity. Indeed, both Ezra 2 verse 61 and 63 through 63 and Nehemiah 7, 61 through 65 shows this infiltration of the priesthood by these aliens. And that's exactly what these Jews are. It was still going on after the return from Babylon. So Jeremiah 5:26 says, among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. Now we are reaching the heart of the ancient conspiracy, which took the name of Yahweh out of the Bible and concealed it from his people for 25 centuries. About a generation before the beginning of the Babylonian captivity, this infiltrated and corrupted priesthood started a new tradition that the name of Yahweh was too holy to be uttered, like I told you. This idea had never been recognized before 650 BC. The name had been used in common speech, but of course with respect. Archaeologists have discovered many ancient letters in the ruins of such cities as Lachish or Lachish, which usually began with the formal salutation, may Yahweh cause my Lord to hear tidings of good. But about 650 BC, these priests, whose countenance was a witness against them, started this tradition that the name of Yahweh must never be used. In fact, they carried it to such an extreme that the Talmud commands that no one but the high priest can ever speak it, and that he only in a whisper once a year. Geez, that would severely hurt us Christians, wouldn't it? I think so. But the older part of the Testament scriptures contain the name 5,410 times. What could they do about this? If they made complete forgeries of the new manuscripts as they were written, there were always enough old manuscripts in existence to prove that the new ones had been altered. So they instructed the people that wherever they found the word Yahweh in the scriptures, they must not pronounce it as Yahweh. Whom should they say it is in place and why? Satan had already caused the pagans of all Western Asia to worship him under the name of Lord. Usually this was the Hebrew word Baal, B-A-A-L. I find it funny that in our sports we play ball. And actually, B-A-A-L is pronounced ball. You could say Baal, though, which means master or lord. So let me read this again. Satan had already caused the pagans of all Western Asia to worship him under the name of Lord. Usually this was the Hebrew word Baal or Baal, meaning master or lord. So when you're praying to the master or the lord, you're praying to Baal. You know how many times in the Bible you find these references to pagan worship of Baal? That's who the god of the Muslims is, who Baal? It's the same thing. It translates to Halel and Baal. If the hook-nosed priests had told the people to say Baal whenever they read Yahweh, the fraud would have been too transparent. The people would have realized they were being led into idolatry and devil worship, and they would not have accepted it. But the Hebrew language has another word for master or lord, Adon, and derived it from Adonai, meaning my lord. Yes, the name Adonai or Adonai. The corrupt priests could have not misled the people into saying Baal when they read Yahweh, but they reached the same result when they told the people that the name of God was so sacred that it must never be uttered. Instead, the people should say, Lord, Adonai. The people did not notice that this was really just another way of saying Baal, so this custom was adopted. Actually, the ancient Hebrew language was written in a different alphabet than which we know today. The old Hebrew alphabet is often called Phoenician. Upon the return from Babylon, they brought with them a new form of writing using the same letters which are used today to write the Hebrew language. Not Yiddish. See, the Jews speak Yiddish. It's an hybrid language for an hybrid people. They're a pretense. They are an imitation of us. And they have a language that imitates our language, which was Hebrew. This second form of Hebrew was written, like some of the present-day shorthand systems, using only the consonant letters, which means no vowels. Thus, for Los Angeles, you would only write L-S-N-G-L-S. And these consonant letters were written on a line and from right to left. Eventually, they had to develop vowel letters also, because consonants alone sometimes cause difficulty. For example, if you write only B-T, do you mean bat, bet, beat, bit, boat, or butt? There is no room to insert the vowel letters on the line, so when the use of vowels began, they were written beneath the line. This was a handy device for the new tradition that you should never say Yahweh, but use the substitute for it, Adonai. The name Yahweh was written using Hebrew letters, which correspond to our English letters YHVH. The corrupt Canaanite Jew priests caused the vowel letters of the word Adonai to be written under the line wherever Yahweh was written on the line, not to produce an altered form of Yahweh, but a reminder to whoever read the manuscript to allowed to say Adonai instead of Yahweh. Now, isn't this funny that when I read the scriptures, I change it back to Yahweh? And maybe there were people out there saying, he's changing the word of God, and you know that that's not right. No, I'm restoring. I was thinking about this, and of course I'm not as good or as holy or even in the same, category as John, who came before Christ, who made the way clear for the Father. But I am a modern day John the Baptist. I'm not as good as him or anything like that. I'm not trying to equate myself with him. But I'm one of the people that the Father has brought forward to make the way straight for the Father, to make the way straight for his return. John made the way straight for his coming, and I am doing the same thing. But I'm not even, in John's, you know what I mean, though. But I'm serious about that. Make thee the way straight. So, when I read the scriptures, I change that Adonai back to Yahweh, his name. And now you know why. It is well known up into the Middle Ages that where the letters YHVH were written on the line, and the vowel letters of Adonai were written beneath them, this did not indicate one word, but two. And it was a reminder to use one of them, Adonai, in place of the other. The mistake, Adonai, if you want to say it that way, the mistake of trying to combine into one composite word was not made until the year 1520 AD, when a stupid and ignorant monk named Gallatinus mistook this for one word and caused all the manuscripts copied in the monastery where he lived to be written with this as one word, Jehovah. Did you just hear that? Believe it or not, this one is so long that I will have to cut it here. And I'm just a tad over time, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.